Since the beginning of time, man battles questions as to how to survive this crazy world we live in, and only God has the answers to all men's questions. Come travel the roads that leads us to the cross.
Today, Crossroads looks at some obstacles that hinder our understanding the mysteries of Christ as we prepare to walk by faith daily in the promises that are ours. You know, an interesting fact is that belief and faith are used almost 500 times together, showing the importance of faith is the means God has chosen to reveal Himself and release His grace. It's no mistake that Hebrews declares that without faith, it is impossible to please God. That is Hebrews 11:6. Our faith with seeing Jesus as Savior continues as we mature to see Him as Lord, but reaches full fruition when we know Him as friend. The friendship of God is trust in action. All the while, the whole process, He is our shepherd, and we are the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Okay, so you're catching your breath and thinking, I may be starting to see a little bit of the struggle that the cross requires when it says, deny yourself and follow me. Now, I want to inject something here. God is holy, and we should never consider our relationship as something that is just casual. 1 Peter 1:15 says, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So let's help each other recognize the attitudes, actions, and perceptions that cause trouble. You know, in the last days, it tells us that there will be great trouble in 1 Peter. And in verse 1:17, it tells us, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear. That's a holy fear of recognizing His holiness. Now, do you consider yourself important and capable of handling life in your own independence? Well, you may have a pride problem. So let's just start with this secret spirit of pride, which is an exalted feeling in view of your own success or position, your good training, your appearance, your natural gifts, your abilities. So again, if you consider yourself capable of handling life through these gifts, talents, you may have a pride problem. But then, how about love of human praise, love attention, like drawing attention to yourself in conversation, using your persuasive personality of flesh to control, and then perhaps some anger or impatience, which you excuse as nervousness, or how about being just a little touchy about certain sensitive matters, and if challenged, there's a desire to throw sharp, heated barbs at one another. We may have a hindrance to our faith. Sometimes we can scale up the ladder to being stubborn, unteachable spirit. We love to argue with harsh, sarcastic expressions, a headstrong disposition, like to criticize and can certainly find flaws when set aside and unnoticed, resulting in a peevish, fretful spirit. We love to go at one another. Now, we can't forget fear. A man or a woman, fearing spirit, wants to shrink from being corrected in duty, especially when applied to the cross life. We will compromise in our convictions to keep comfort between factions, because it's important that everyone get along with everyone else. But even if it entails allowing known sins of action and attitudes, well, the world's attitudes towards that is they look upon us and they call us two-faced hypocrites, doing one thing and saying another. And then in these hindrances, how about a slow burn of a jealous disposition? Secret envy shut in the heart, jealous of great prosperity in another. And that can include the gifts given by God for service in the family of God for and to others. We can so be jealous of what someone else has and we think we don't have it that we can really become aggravated in someone else's prosperity. And then there is a killer, a deceitful disposition attitude. Beware of this one because it specializes in half-truths, which are basically total lies. And that's when we try to leave a better impression of yourself than is strictly true. Perhaps we call it a false humility, an exaggeration, stretching the facts, straining the truth. Beware, beware. This is so easy for the enemy to bring in a distraction in this area. And then, you know, there's a super sadness of having a formality and a deadness. And that is shown by having a lack of concern for lost souls. You're dry. You're indifferent. So what? Everybody has to make their own choices. This is a lack of power with Father God. And then that word that we hear so often on both sides of camps, of any camp, is the word unbelief. A spirit of discouragement in times of pressure and opposition. You'll sense this with a lack of quietness in confidence in God. There'll be worry. There'll be complaining. In the face of divine providence, the act of God, and what God has allowed, we get over anxious, feeling whether everything will come out all right. Where is that belief? Where has faith and belief disappeared? Did it take a vacation? Because we are told to be diligent in all that we do. Now, in this little list, which is not complete by any means, we have probably touched on something in everyone's life of self that would hinder our walk and witness in reaching for the goal and the purpose in living. We have also touched on some of the same flesh patterns of a person who has no life in Jesus Christ and has no idea that he or she is in any need of any type of Christianity as a solution, but is still searching for meaning in life. They are trying every good resource the world is offering. Now, some of these programs have excellent procedures for giving the mind and emotions some hope And when the physical tools have tried and tried and tried and failed, we'll still take up new tools. Perhaps adopt a government and private program. Check in with the medical community for prescriptions, or go to the streets for drugs. And then having a need for relationships. Oh, seek out the feel-good sex that may have many different encounters, looking for that special one to satisfy and nurture. And that can go into needing a new stimulant, exploring excitements of experimenting with formerly forbidden cultural cures. Anything they feel in themselves that excite and detract from the hidden pain. Remember, certain emotions can create negative energy to help relieve boredom with life. Now, continuing on these hindrances, some turn inward with deep meditation into their search, but are unable to fulfill their own need for meaningful answers, and the search continues to the fatigue of the whole being. Finally, the purpose in living is escape from the purpose in living, which no longer has purpose. Let me repeat that. Finally, the purpose in living is just to escape. But we're escaping from the purpose in living, which no longer has any purpose. At this point, a lifestyle of search and seek, search and hope, search and finding ways to live in a lifestyle of escape methods, decide it's time to call it quits. An annihilation unto doom is the final choice. Oh, I hope this desperate picture has not caused you to be so overwhelmed with the reality that so many live in unnecessarily. In the picture being portrayed today, it is vital that those who do hear this message today and have a basic belief of creation with a creator be in prayer for eyes and ears to hear, with hearts to be open to the voice that speaks in Ecclesiastes 3, 10 and 11. I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. God has made everything beautiful in His time, and He has also put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. Now, I want to specialize here just very briefly in Ecclesiastes when it refers to the sons of men. And it's being used to describe humanity as a whole and emphasizing the shared experiences and conditions of people. Now, this is the first step in realizing the futility of a continued search for meaning to life apart from the Creator. The author of Ecclesiastes is showing the vanity, the nothingness of life, if we just hatched from some amoeba. And besides, who made the amoeba? Or, there are many times that we go after gods to get us to heaven with security and safety forever that are not true gods. It's interesting to realize that in Ecclesiastes 3, it tells us, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. To be born, to die, to plant, to kill, to heal, to break down, to build up, to weak, we can go on and on and on and on. And it includes a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate sin, a time of war and a time of peace. So let's recognize that we have eternity in our hearts. Do we listen? Sometimes we believe. We should never think that following solutions that can be found without the Supreme Creator will ever produce life. These are earthbound beliefs. It's man's ways. Now, some of man's alternatives offer options, but life developing from existing matter, but not offering solutions out of nothing, as the great Creator has done, nor as the great Creator who just spoke the world into being, spoke with his words. Yes, I realize that's far out thinking for many, but Christianity does require a measure of faith. And God has given that to all that want to accept him as their solution solver. And you know, if you're still wondering about the God of creation, there are cultural, historical, non-Christian accounts that give credence to the Creator as God Almighty, the Son of God. That's worth checking out in your search. Whether you read through the whole Bible or you focus on a book of Ecclesiastes, it's a fascinating study to learn the ways of man since the Garden of Eden. There, Adam and Eve chose to do their own thing, seeking a better way than what God had provided for them in their own natural reasoning. They listened to self and not to the voice of the God of creation. Now, in the Garden of Eden, and even well before the tempter, the angel of light, Satan was already at work to destroy all of God's purposes in creating a family to give him glory and honor forever because of God's heart of love. His love had been overflowing through thousands of years, patiently waiting until his time to bring all attempts at destruction will finally fail and God will resume his purpose in bringing back his original plan. Yes, I know it does stretch one's thinking. We can ask why did we have to know all the hell that exists through the ages to prove there is a heaven, God's home? Why? Because God's plan was to present the mystery of his family that would believe by faith in his Son, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He has called each one of us to be in his family forever together. And you know what? I can't explain all those details. That's well above my pay grade. But he said he put eternity to everyone's heart. One way or another, knowing that not all would hear, see, and want the offer he gives, but there is that eternal connection. Now, we can break down the many complexities of life, but we can share the heart words offering his free gift of a solution as outlined in Matthew 11:28. These are Jesus' words. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The word we want to hear is come. There is a solution for those that struggle with life and wanting to be in control of all of life their way. They're demigods to final destruction. This passage in Matthew 11 does not require any qualifications of doing something for heavily laden with burdens, just to come as you are. And you know that as Jesus spoke these words, he knew in his heart that these words would be applicable for any who would come. His grace, which can remove every weight, hush every guilty fear, fill up every blank, satisfy longing desires, is able to do as he says he will, to give rest. There are no conditions proposed, no demands made, no barriers erected. The simple, touching, subduing, inviting, winning word is come. Come to be set free from hopeless death and condemnation that we were born into. Many are blind and remain in this mindset in unbelief. They remain there because of thinking they must first go, do something, give something, bring something, feel something, realize something different. No! Just come to whom? Jesus. When one does come, when is it the time to come? Now. There are no requirements to shape up, change your character, amend your ways of living, alter your course, improve your moral condition. When the hurting heart, the angry, anxious mind, and the human will are ready to hear his voice saying, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, Hebrews 3:15. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, 2 Corinthians 6:2. Those that have begun in darkness, continued in misery, and ended in despair, have in some way wanted to establish their own righteousness. And nothing is more hopeless, dreary, depressing, than trying to fix that eternal call that each one has, whether you understand it or not, but just sense something is missing, and where and how do I go to find it? Remember Romans 7:24 that we speak of many times, that tells us that there is a constant cycling in the life of flesh and self trying to find the fix. Who shall deliver me? Now, in recapping for a happy ending for the hungry heart, we need to hear that we will take Jesus Christ's yoke upon us for the broken heart and learn from Jesus Christ through being set apart and learning from him. He is gentle, lowly in heart, and they will find a deeper rest for the souls, the mind, the will, the motion, from the heart that is being cleansed. There are so many encouraging truths that we will continue to discuss in following the crossroads and to learn how to rest in a clean, pure conscience that overcomes all doubts that rob us of our victory in Jesus Christ with all roads that lead to the cross.
You have been listening to Crossroads with Janie Ratzlaff. For more resources, go to sharedhearts.org/crossroads. crossroads.